Genesis chapter 1, one more time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We now come to the conclusion of our consideration of this first passage in Scripture. Lord willing, we have taken to heart the earnest importance of accepting what God tells us in His Word as true and faithful and of absolute importance. To believe His Word is to believe with all our heart in His plan and His purpose in the creation of this universe. That will be the course of this morning's message. What God has done goes far beyond simply the thought of you and me. As humans, we are often prone to think of it just in terms of what our place in the universe entails. But from before the eternal ages began, God had something far more glorious in mind as He created the heavens and the earth. It has always been for the glory of His Son that God created all things. He did not do so with the temporal attitude which infests mankind. We think in terms of leaving a legacy of our hard work in the hands of our children as a means of showing how wonderfully inventive or artistic or benevolent we were in our dealings with the hardships of life. We try to build a tribute to our greatness in the heritage that we leave behind in order to keep ourselves in the forefront of others' considerations. But that is not the way of God. As He determined to bring all glory and honor to His Son, it was in a manner far beyond our ability to comprehend. His eternal glory is not a means of promoting Himself in any measure. It is of showing the greatness of His love toward us. In making the Son the recipient and the focal point of the eternal ages, He made us fellow partakers of that glory in purity and in holiness and in righteousness. Colossians 1:13-20. For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. In the entire creation process, God the Son was ever the one in view. All things were created by Him and for Him. This is especially true of the creation of mankind. We were always to be the recipients of the manifold grace and wisdom and salvation of God through His only begotten Son. The main thrust of creation was that God would have a means of establishing a relationship with a people who would love Him as He so loved them. When we truly look into the very reason that God would create anything, it only comes into central focus as we see its purpose in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Otherwise, why would God so choose to suffer the unfathomable loss at the cross of Calvary? That was no small thing in the immense span of time. upon the death of His Son on the cross hung the whole balance of God's heritage and manifestation of Himself. Nothing else was sufficient to render the utter death to sin, creating life everlasting in the presence of His holiness. He invested every facet of Himself, His life, His love, His plan, His purpose, His word, His holiness, His righteousness, His faithfulness, His promise, and His heart upon that cross of wood. He was nailed there, suffering all the ridicule and the torment and the relentless onslaught of the vicious evilness of this age for but one reason. It was to reveal the fullness of Himself to you and to me. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. In the inspired and resourceful force that He wielded in the beginning, He invested Himself into His creation. The Son made humanity His own inheritance by so loving us that He laid down His own life for us. It wasn't enough to just create a habitation for the beings of His construction. He wanted to invest Himself in a living manner into us in order for us to partake of something so much greater than just existence. That is fine for the birds and the animals and the fish and the soulless multitudes of creatures that perform the functions necessary to maintain physical life on this planet. But God was after something far more important and far more urgent. He wanted a people who could appreciate and commune in a heart-to-heart and spirit-to-spirit relationship with Himself. A relationship of mutual and perfect enjoyment of one another. What was needed was an establishment of a bond that superseded all other considerations and motivations and attitudes and duplicitous endeavors. It is a relationship that is created by the faith of Jesus Christ, His Son. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In faith, we accept that God created the heavens and the earth. In faith, we believe that God sent His only begotten Son to die for us on the cross. In faith, we hold on to the reality that God raised up His Son on the third day, and in so doing, raised us up together with Him, a completely new creation. In faith, we understand that our lives are no longer to be lived for ourselves, but rather for His testimony of love on this earth. In faith, we hold to the precept that we have eternal life forevermore because of Christ's covering of holiness and righteousness. In faith, we know that we are joined together as fellow partakers in spiritual life, joint heirs with Christ in the very family of God. It is by the faith of Jesus Christ that God has created a bond with us that can never be broken or sundered. We belong to Him because we hold to His great promises through the faith of Jesus Christ who indwells us by His Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter encourages us to hold forth this living faith in a manner that will constantly serve to glorify our God, Creator and Savior. He reveals the dire consequences that will separate those who disbelieve from those who choose to believe the Word of God. 2 Peter 3, 5 through 16. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by His word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of Scriptures, to their own destruction. As we live by faith on this earth, our lives will evidence the relationship that God produces in us by His Son. We will more and more desire with all earnestness and commitment to reflect Him in all our dealings with others. There will be an urgent awareness of the shortness of time at hand in which to share the blessing and the reality of the new life that God has created by Jesus' death and resurrection. We will share in the earnestness of proclaiming Jesus Christ alive, Jesus Christ victorious in our lives for the sake of those who are perishing. Our eyes will begin to see past the facades of this age into the eternal reality of what God has accomplished in His creation. we will find ourselves more and more seeking after those manners of giving Him glory for all that He has done. We will begin to echo the chorus as recorded in Revelation 4, 8 through 11. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will they existed and were created." Our minds and hearts will be enlivened to more clearly understand the mystery of God that the angel declares in Revelation 10, 5 through 7. "And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by Him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall be delay no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets." It is the mystery that is only revealed by the knowledge of Christ in us, the hope of glory. All the creation power of God is vested in Him, and because of Him, we partake of His everlasting life. This should cause us to more urgently and more perfectly honor God as the Creator of the heavens and the earth, as voiced in Revelation 14, 6 and 7. "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who has made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of water.'" We need to fear and to reverence God for exactly the fact that He is the Lord God Creator. He is to be worshipped and glorified for all that He has done throughout the course of the establishment of His eternal plan and purpose in His manifest heart of love and of faithfulness. To give Him anything less than utmost honor and glory and praise and adoration is to belittle and to besmirch His holiness and His righteousness. Rather, let us ever consider Him in the light of Jesus Christ and settle our hearts upon those things which will offer Him the majesty and the worship and the adoration that He so fully deserves. Let us reverence Him for all that He has done by His creative hand in living operation in our lives and in the lives of all those who have so believed His word, those who have joined their hearts and minds and spirits to Him in His only begotten Son. Let us always seek after being the living testimony to His so great grace and mercy and love in the lives that we willingly and knowingly and freely offer up unto Him. We do this not because we're forced to do it, but because He first so loved us that we want to give Him complete satisfaction in the life that He has created in Jesus Christ. We look forward to the great promise held in Revelation 21, 3 through 7. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." And He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And He said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things. And I will be His God, and He will be my Son." Everything finds its place only as it relates to God's own Son. He is the fulfillment of all that was in the heart of God when He first created, and as He continues to create newness of life forevermore. As we're told by Jesus Himself, Revelation 22:13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Everything began with Christ, and everything will find its conclusion in Him. There is no other way of it, because that is what was always in God's heart from the beginning. So be it. Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And Revelation 22:21. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all." Amen.